Let's, as we always do on a Saturday morning, turn our attention to a regular spot. And today we're going to talk about the world of recruitment. And we're going to talk about the world of finding a good job or trying to find a good potential new employee. So we'll look at it from both perspectives. Brian Briscoe from Briscoe Search is going to be our expert on the subject matter. Good morning.
Good morning, James.
It's a great time for you at the moment. My goodness, so much going on in this state. People from the eastern states come over and say, well, I never realised it was quite like this. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I have a few friends in the game in Sydney and Melbourne, and they used to question why I was in Perth. They don't question it anymore.
No, they've just about got it. Yeah. Let's look at it from a job hunter's perspective at the moment. A lot of people changing jobs, looking for new challenges. And obviously, at the moment, you're in the buyer's market. You're in a terrific position at the moment, maybe a one-off position at the moment. This is an extraordinary time. But let's just talk about if you are trying to find that great job, how you should be going about it. And one of the things that you notice is that, you know, the world of the CV and in particular the referees that you put down as the people who are going to, you know, give you a wonderful nod. That's important, though, to get the right people, isn't
Presumably,
it?
Yeah.
Do you go for the people who you've just been working with, or do you choose people who you were at school with 25 years ago?
Yeah, probably something to qualify the comment with as well. It's not a super candidate market in every industry. It really depends what industry you're in. So obviously we've heard so much about the two-speed economy. I don't need to repeat that. But you are sometimes competing against two or three other people for that job that you want. Starts right from the beginning with the CV. So many people are just going and taking templates or getting advice on their CV. Really important to realize that your CV is your ad. So if a big company that has a multi-billion dollar budget to write advertising, they don't describe themselves in their ad, they sell themselves in their ad. Mm-hmm. And it's no different with a CV. Of course, you've got to be a bit descriptive, but it's really important to get that that front foot forward when you're applying and making yourself a little bit different, but not completely out there, and setting yourself apart from the crowd.
Do you change your CV according to the job you're going for, or does that say standard?
No, I encourage people to perhaps have two or three CVs, depending on what industry or function they're going for. I think the market that you're speaking into, or the audience that you're speaking into with your CV, needs to resonate with what you have. So just an example, if you're a sales guy and you're going for a senior business development role, which is a lot more commercial and contracts driven, versus perhaps a transactional role where it's a classic sales role, you would perhaps put your CV a little bit different. I think the spine of it needs to be the same, but you've got to flesh it out according to the audience.
Okay, and which bits do you flesh out? Is it the experience bits?
No.
It's not going to be your interests or your number of wives or anything like that. That's not going to change. It's got to be the experience.
It's pretty important for it to be the truth, and it happened. Because good hiring managers and good recruitment companies will check it out, and they will try and, through interview and through references, will match the integrity of your CV. So it's pretty important for it to be.
How much do you see that's a little on the dodgy side, you know, artistic license, so to speak?
I think I've always encouraged my team to accept that someone's probably going to exaggerate their ability by about 20% and exaggerate their experience by 10%. So we kind of work off a toned-down approach when we're reading CVs and realize it's not all the truth.
Okay. Now, once we've padded out with all the right material for the right job, then the referees at the bottom is the what, normally two names, is it, that you go for?
Yeah, two to four, and it's so crucial. People often, because it's at the end of the CV, it often gets a little thought by the candidate. I probably best if I use an example. Because I suppose of my position as one of the partners of a recruitment company, I often get people asking me to be their reference because there might be this notion of credibility. I hope there is.
Just because you're Irish.
Yeah, maybe. They just think I can talk for them, regardless of whether it's good or bad. But I remember once I'd met a guy, and I won't divulge names, but I'd met a guy for all of 4 hours. I kid you not, it was 4 hours. It was one meeting. And the next week I got a phone call and we'll call him James. The next week I got a phone call on James saying, listen, you've been put down as a referee for James. Now, I know that's almost a ridiculous example, but the first question they asked me is, how long do you know him? Mm. And I answered it the truth. I said, 4 hours and 7 minutes. And the guy started laughing. And I said, I'm genuine. Because we live off accurate references. Mm. You know, the last thing you want to do is get a dodgy reference on a candidate, you place them, and then 4 months later you find out they weren't all they said they were. Mm. So I found out later from that same gentleman that he didn't get that job. And I doubt that the referee would have done any more references beyond me. One of the things I really encourage candidates to do is go and speak to their intended references and, one, ask permission, two, ask, is it a good idea for me to put you as a reference? Mm. And, you know, if you've got a good enough relationship with him, you can ask him, what is it you would say about me if a call was made to you? You can have a fantastic CV, a fantastic interview. You can feel really good about the job, and then your references can not let you down because you chose them and it's your responsibility, but really not continue that strength through replication.
So who should you choose?
Previous bosses are the best for me. When we're doing references on anyone that's in a client interfacing role, we will want to speak to one of their clients. So whether that's a project manager, project director, business development director. When we're recruiting general managers and seniors, we want to speak to one of their staff, one of their colleagues, and one of their previous bosses. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong. If you're able to put down, so obviously not your current boss, because you don't want your current boss getting a phone call telling them that you might be looking around. That might not work well unless you get your next job. But definitely the people you've worked for in the past. I find that good candidates leave a really good glory trail behind them. Bad candidates leave a trail of destruction.
So you can tell very quickly, in a quick 10 seconds with the person on the referee side, that will give you a good nod.
And we put so much weight on it. Because what you say about yourself is only opinion. What the world says about you is fact.
So why don't we spend more time on the testimonial side? In other words, getting glowing references from lots of people and forget about the rest.
Absolutely. Well, I think LinkedIn is starting to do that, right?
Okay.
The whole platform of LinkedIn is all about recommendations. It's almost a little bit like eBay meets Facebook in that regard. So you, if you've got a good rating, you're good. But I don't think candidates spend enough time giving thought to the strategy around the references. And by strategy, I don't mean manipulation. I just mean, who are you choosing to speak on your behalf at a crucial stage of the process? The opposite applies. I don't think enough employers go deep enough into reference checking. I think by the stage they've gone to references, they've almost chosen the guy. And they want guy or girl, and they've almost want confirmation that their decision was right rather than questioning it.
Okay. Brian Briscoe with us this morning, looking at the world of employment. And do you think the CV is still as important as ever? Because there are so many other ways that you can potentially sell yourself these days. What about, for example, sending a video application through?
Well, I think it's an incredibly underutilized idea and a fantastic idea at that. And I think both of those are connected. Mm. Whatever can set you apart. So whether it's video, whether you've actually got a lot of sensible and relevant imagery through your CV, you just...
Right. Because they're always pretty standard. It's very boring. I can't stand it when people send me, you know, CVs. I generally don't look at them. I want to meet the person. But for you, obviously, when you've got thousands coming through for a job, you've got to whittle it down somehow, haven't you?
You do. And, you know, sometimes it's about, we find a lot with candidates, they might send a CV and we haven't had a chance to read it yet because it could be 2 or 3 days. And the kind of roles that we recruit, a lot of them are above that kind of 100, 150 mark so in salary. So it takes you a while just to get through the process. And we'll ring a guy and you know, because we perhaps want to have 3 or 4 questions just to clarify parts in the CV. And the person will go, oh, which job was that again? Now, I've applied to quite a few lately. And start rummaging through, and you've got to remind them of what they applied
That's
for.
That's not cool.
No. It doesn't.
This is the difference as well. In the olden days, there used to be a case of you'd see the advert in the paper, then you'd send it off in the post, and you'd theoretically keep tabs on what went out where. But with the advent of the internet, you can effectively do 10 in 10 minutes.
Spot on. It's almost too easy. And I think what the problem is, when you cut a little bit out of the West Australian or the Australian newspaper, you kind of kept it with you. Mm. You apply now on a Seek or a Career One or any company job site, you just don't have the permanent record in paper form. You're just onto your next page and you're browsing and on you move. So it's just so important to sound organized and sound like this is a job that is of interest to you.
Yes.
Otherwise, that kind of indifference will pay.
Yeah, okay. So you've got to be right on the money from the phone call or whatever. You're going to say, oh, that's the job I was really after. Know all about it.
And just engaged.
Yes.
You know, engaged from the point of view of knowing what job it is and engaged from the point of view of really getting involved with the hiring manager or the recruiter in question.
Some good text coming through. It doesn't always work putting your immediate boss down for a referee. If you don't get on or there's a personality clash, which is possible, it can be a disastrous outcome. And Aidan says, tell Brian, if he played hurling as good as he recruits, he'd be an All-Ireland champion. So obviously an Irish.
I know who that is, actually. And he knows I could play hurling. He's actually in the industry, so.
Oh, right. Let's turn it on its head and look at the employer's perspective at the moment. It's a tough market to try and get the people you want. How do you go about, and let's just maybe just touch on something very topical at the moment, the world of immigrants coming in to try and fill some of these roles. How do you know you're getting the right ones?
Interesting. You should mention that after the hurling analogy with some of my Irish compatriots being in the news this week. It's such a long journey, so I'm suppose I'm going to try and wrap in what can essentially be a 2 to 3 year process improvement journey into a few minutes. The number one thing is not doing it on the run. I think particularly a lot of small to medium sized businesses do recruitment in an ad hoc, on the run fashion, where they're kind of they're almost a victim or a product of how good the candidates were that were put in front of them. They pick one and there's no process. Having a plan is so important, and it doesn't take long. So you can have 6 and 7 page job descriptions, and I think in a lot of roles they're necessary. But we've got this 1 page competency matrix that we use with our clients. And really, it's almost like your map. It's just a map for the whole process. One of the best ways of starting, I believe, and a lot of companies just don't do this, is look at your 2 or 3 best performers in your company and look at what is it that makes them so good. Why did they join you in the first place? Mm-hmm. And what has them hang around? And if you don't know the answer to those questions, go and ask them, because you're probably not the best judge of those answers compared to what they might be.
Yep.
And just, you know, at the risk of making it too scientific, just try and clone them and try and go out to the market to find more people like them.
That's a great idea.
If you know, you don't want everyone the same in your no. business, of course, because it makes it boring and non-dynamic. But it's amazing how many companies go to the market searching for something they're not quite sure of when they've got exactly what they want internally in the top performers and they don't study it. And then it's really just having a plan beyond that. It's knowing what skills and attributes and knowledge you're looking at. And it's really, really hard to look back at 6 and 7 pages of a job description. And I say this whether you're a hiring manager, a CEO, or a recruiter in an agency, or an internal recruiter. If you've just got 1 page in front of you, which is your mud map, and it just reminds you of what your essential and desirable characteristics, traits, knowledge base, skill base is for the person, you can then just do your whole process according to that. I almost call it the recruitment GPS. So if you're driving with no map and you're just kind of, you're almost loyal to the next turn, you'll end up with someone that you weren't really intending to have in the first place. So it's just really important to have that map and that
Sounds so obvious, doesn't it? But it's amazing how many people set out in anything without having a plan of what they're trying to achieve in the first place.
Absolutely.
Dennis from Malaga has phoned through. He says, how does Brian avoid helping out, in inverted commas, a fellow Irishman over an Australian? And that would be the same for anyone who's, for example, come from different quarters of the world.
Yeah. I'm risk offending the 60 or 70,000 and ever rising. If someone is Irish, they need to be head and shoulders for me with my client above an Australian to avoid any suspicion of nepotism on my part, right? Let's talk a little bit about international. We're getting people flooding into our shores from all over the world at the moment. I don't believe that the government have the capability to be able to select the right people to come in. I've seen a real big increase in the volume of people coming in onto our shores. And it's really important that you don't stereotype positive or negative. So, you just use an example of any nationality. If your stereotype mentality in them is that they're a really, really hard worker, don't assume that that's going to be the case for them. Go and test them. Key thing with international guys, don't take mobile numbers for references. Get business names that you can make calls over to overseas because you don't have your antenna up. If you're an Australian recruiting an English or an Irish person, your antenna for what's true and not will be weakened. Go and do your research and do your homework on them.
Brilliant advice. Great stuff. Listen, we've only just sort of scratched the surface. We'll do it again in the next few weeks or so. Brian, thanks for coming in. Get back to your hurling.
Those days are long gone. I'm concentrating on recruitment. Thanks, James.
Brian Briscoe with us on Saturday Breakfast.